Hello and welcome back to Pack Mentality. Today, Eva's on the podcast and we're going to be talking about strength in community and specifically talking about Eva's fitness journey and how fitness has helped her heal. If you don't know, Eva lost both of her parents even before she graduated college, and she's been through a lot and she found a lot of community here at Red Wolf. She's not only going to be sharing about that, but she's going to be sharing about her entire fitness journey with us today. So Eva, so great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's amazing to be here.
It's very cool.
Doing great. Just did the 5K bike today, so that was good.
So much fun.
Feeling good.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, if you don't know me, I'm Matt Bamwart. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California, with my wife, Caitlin. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. So just an overall overview of this podcast today, we're mostly going to be talking about with Eva on how fitness can be a powerful tool for coping with loss. And I'm not going to tell the story. I'll let Eva tell the story. So real quick, Eva, kind of introduce yourself and tell us about how, just tell us your story first.
Okay. Well, I'm 23 years old. I started doing CrossFit 5 years ago and I came to Red Wolf straight away just based off of Yelp reviews that I found.
Nailed it.
I made Matt a lot of money because I was just doing drop-ins for about 2 weeks. So I did about like 10 or 12 drop-ins within a week before I actually committed. I was a competitive swimmer for about 17 years and I swam at the collegiate level, for a D1 program in New York City. Growing up, I kind of did every single sport there was. The only one that stuck was swimming, which was turned out to be really, really cool for me. Matt said earlier, I did lose both of my parents to cancer, which isn't, if I tear up on this podcast, I'm so sorry. But I did lose both of my parents to cancer, which is kind of like a defining story for me, I feel like. I also don't want to be known as like the girl who lost her parents to cancer. I've never wanted like the pity or the, the pity or then people like feeling so bad for me. But I wouldn't be where I am today if they hadn't passed away. And I'm sure I would be somewhere even better if they were. But you make do with everything. My dad passed away from colon cancer when I was 11 years old. And I was actually swimming in the Golden West pool during a club practice when it happened. And we had like some cousins come pick us up, me and my brother up, and we went home and everybody was kind of there. And I was like, okay, it happened. And it hurt. It hurt a lot. This is crazy. I'm crying right now. I didn't think I was going to do that. But we had a lot of family with us and everything happened. And then the next day, like, we had just this group of people and family and friends that made sure that, like, my brother and I still went to swimming the mm-hmm. next day. We didn't go to school, I don't think. But we did go to swim practice. And I think it was because my mom and, like, our family knew that it was like the one thing that kept like a normal schedule for me and my brother, but more so me, because I would go and I would be able to see all my friends and like there and just swim with them. And I think they told our coaches too, because they were nice to me for the next month, which is really nice. They kind of gave me a little space if I didn't make certain sets on time. But swimming is kind of like what just helped me cope through my dad's passing. It was the only thing that I could really remember that was like, oh, like if I'm feeling a certain way, like if I'm feeling down. And I was like, I was 11 years old. If I was feeling sad or I missed my dad, I went to the pool. Or I begged my mom to take me to the beach, because that was like my favorite thing, was going to the ocean with my dad. And then when my mom passed, that was in March 2021. She passed away from glioblastoma. It showed up in 2019. 2016. The summer of 2016. So I had just finished my freshman year of high school. And she kind of was demonstrating some weird behavior. Lo and behold, she ended up having glioblastoma, which is one of the most aggressive brain tumors in the world. I went through and I took care of her and my mom for about 3 years in high school. And then got moved out of the house because I was balancing both taking care of my mom, taking care of my brother, school, swimming, and trying to maintain some sort of social life, and trying to have fun with high school because I really, really loved my high school. But my mom passed away in 2021. And it wasn't even because of COVID either. She actually had gotten COVID when she was like really, really, it was closer to the end and she fought that. So I was like, wow, kind of cool. But when she passed away, I was actually, it was crazy to say, and I realized this the other day, but I was in the gym when my mom passed away, like in Red Wolf, because Aunt Caitlin had given me the combination to the front lock, and I was just working out because I knew 3 days ahead of time I'd gotten a text from my aunt saying that my mom wasn't doing so great. So I came home and it was kind of just like a waiting game at that point. So in order to wait it out, the best place for me to go was Red Wolf. It was my kind of like safe haven. And I was literally working out when my mom had passed, and I had found out someone texted me like about an hour later when I was getting food, and then I rushed home. But yeah, it kind of just shows, it was kind of like a funny parallel when I realized that, but like I was swimming when my dad passed away, and then I was in the gym when my mom passed away. So it's definitely like a really odd, not odd, but like cool parallel to how both of their passings. I was like, I was working out and I was moving. And I had taken, after my mom had passed, I took like a day off and I was sitting just around the house, kind of just with my emotions. And I hated it so much because it was just like all this, just feelings just so built up in me, and I don't like moping. But I allowed myself just like one day to just kind of sit with everything. And then the next day I went back to noon class. And everyone kind of knew like what had happened. Like my mom had passed. I put it on social media so that everybody knew. And I went in and everybody, I don't think anybody really knew how to like approach me. Cause what do you say to someone, you know, when you say like, oh, I'm sorry for your loss, but I think it's really hard to say it to someone when they've already lost one parent and they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
So now they've lost two. And I remember, I don't even remember what the workout was. I think we might have been doing cleans. But I was going over to grab a pair of templates. And one of our old members, Ken Charity, came up to me and was like, hey, like, I saw your post. Like, how are you doing? And I said, you know, like, I'm okay. And I was just holding my plates there, just like hugging them. And he was like, no, like, how are you really doing? And I don't even remember responding to him, but I just remember like this, like the tears that just started coming from my eyes. And I remember like dropping plates. And I think, he, like, I can't even remember because I just had this like rush of emotion. And I was like, it just felt nice. Like someone asked about it. Because I think my entire life, like people have always assumed that I'm like the strong older sister that took care of her mom and her brother, and she was always going to be strong. But like, it was nice to feel like seen and be like asked like, oh, how are you really doing? Because everyone just kind of assumes. But to be asked that was really, really nice. Yeah.
Wow. That's intense. Thank you so much for sharing. I know it's not easy. And I remember when it happened, I don't think I said anything either. Cause I really didn't know what to say. And I remember when it happened and just being like, wow, like you're so young and you've already been through so much. And, the frame that I took from that too was like, I really stop complaining about things that were going on in my life. I'm like, you've been through so much more than I have. And, you know, I'm significantly older. And just out of curiosity, was there a point in time where you knew that fitness, or like also with swimming, that Did you know at the time that that was how you were going to process your grief or that would help?
I didn't think that it was... Swimming has always, like, been there for me. Like, it was always, always, like, the one thing that I did day in, day out. Like, so it gave me, like, some sort of, like, normalcy to my life. But that day, I think, like, it really clicked where I was like, no, I need to go to the gym. Like, and I think that's when I really realized that, like, fitness was this huge part of my life. And I needed to, it needed to stay that way. And I even, oh my gosh, I went to the gym and I was just spending like hours at the gym. I'm sure you remember, I was just sitting there sometimes just on my laptop, and I would do my schoolwork there. During COVID, I would like sit up at one of the benches and I did finals like in the gym. And I had a family member tell me that I was spending too much time at the gym. And I didn't know how to respond to that, because I was like, where else would I be? Like, I could be doing so many other things. Like, I could have processed my grief so many different other ways. I could have resorted to alcoholism and or drugs or anything like that. But I said, no, like, I'm going to go to the gym instead. So it was kind of crazy to me that someone had told me, like, oh, you're spending too much time at the gym. And I was like, I just didn't know how to respond to that. I was like, this is how I'm grieving. This is my coping mechanism. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I'm not going to apologize for it. But no, fitness has always been a part of like how I processed certain things. But I think that day when I came in and like Ken was there, like, and asked me that question, I was like, everything kind of clicked together. And I said, yeah, it's like my thing now.
Right. Okay. So there was a aha moment there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. That's really interesting. Was it, how do I frame this, but did you search for any kind of other support during the difficult time? Or was the gym just good enough?
I think the gym and then like also kind of bit of swimming. It was like my mom had passed away like during college, and I didn't have the best relationship with swimming because of the collegiate program I was at, but the question.
So it's okay.
Answer. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, did you look for any other kind of support outside the gym, or was the gym your main support system?
No, the gym was my main support system. Like, I did develop, I'll be so honest about this, I did develop like a nicotine addiction because it was like, again, people resort to certain substances, and that happened to be mine. It was just easier to get to, like, college in New York, just easy to get. But no, that one was the main one. Red Wolf gave me like a really good sense of community that was really hard for me to find anywhere else. Like, I didn't even have it when I was going to school. I had like a couple friends, but I was on this team of people, and they're supposed to be my family, but it never felt that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So whenever I walked into Red Wolf, that felt like family. That felt like the community I needed and wanted to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how much this place means to you, and you mean a ton to us, and we've always been there to support you. Tell us, like, what are some specific things that make it different from like swimming?
Like I said, that community aspect was like huge for me. So I did my undergraduate degree in New York City. And I chose that school because it was gated. It was a smaller school, so I thought I would get that community aspect there. And then I got the offer to walk onto the swim team, and I said, oh, that's awesome. Like, I'll have this group of like instant friends and people that like I can have as my community and like my family. And that's what everybody had said. They were like, oh, if you swim, like if you join a team, like you'll be able to have that sense of community there just right off the bat. I don't think I ever really felt that within the 4 years. I think maybe the first year I was there, that was probably my best year, where I felt like I had people that I could like text or call, and like they would respond and help me. But the rest of the time I was there, I did not have that community aspect. It was not, it just wasn't there. So And that further like reduced swimming as like my cope, like put swimming as number two on the coping mechanism scale. But like when I came home, it was always like, I was always focused on like going to Red Wolf. I was like, oh, I got to make sure I pack my belt, my shoes so I can go to Red Wolf and make sure I can get into the gym. And I always texted you guys too, cause I was like, hey, I'm coming back. Like, just want to let you guys know so we can work out like payment or whatever. But it was whenever I came into the gym here, like there was always someone that said, oh my gosh, how are you? I haven't seen you in forever. What is your life like? What are you doing? What, like, just tell me everything. And that, like, in those conversations always felt genuine with people. There was never like any sort of like fake behavior from anybody, which I really appreciated. And it was just being here is like genuine. We have very genuine members who all care so much about each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is that what you would say makes Red Wolf different? Is there anything else that makes Red Wolf different from the other communities that you've been a part of?
I've been to a lot of gyms and I've been to a lot of like so-called communities, and 100% yes. Like everybody has pretty much very similar goals here, and that is to get better. And that's what I've always related to. And there's people in some of my other communities, like that's not their goal. And they just plateau. And I have always kind of outgrown that, and I've outgrown those communities. So at Red Wolf, that's just why it's my favorite place, is because everyone's always looking to get better. And that's what I want to do, is just get better, whether it's lifting or even just like learning stories about people here is like awesome too, because you grow from them and you learn from other people as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I'm glad that it was helpful. And glad that you found an outlet that was healthy and that you had a support system, because, you know, we all need that, you know. And kind of leading with that, as a coping mechanism, if someone else right now is currently going through a very difficult time, what would you tell them for your advice on coping mechanisms?
Gosh. You know, I knew this question was coming too. And I like... I think my thing is to just... Me personally, I needed to move. Even if it was just like me walking for a day, or like going down to Bolsa Chica and just walking that long, long path, it was just moving. Because that, you know what? I changed my answer. No, I'm going to change my answer real quick, because this is something that I learned from my college strength coach. Make your bed. Make your bed every morning, because even though you are struggling with everything else in life, at least you did one thing that day, and that was make your bed. So, and then add movement. Do one thing at a time and take things slowly. Everyone's always in a rush these days, and it's always like, it's always so sad to see, because no one ever slows down. Like, this is so Ferris Bueller of me, but slow down. Like, life moves pretty fast. You don't need to move that fast with it. But yeah, make your bed and then do everything else one thing at a time after that.
Right. No, that's great advice. And I, you know, just from what I'm hearing too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of having that mind-body connection, you know, the benefits of mental health, when you're releasing those endorphins, you know, and when you start off the day by doing something, you did that right.
Yeah.
And so when you come back to that, it's like, I start off the day by doing something right, you know, and that helps reduce anxiety and improves your focus and helps you move on throughout the day. Can you describe a moment in your fitness journey when you kind of felt a shift, where you realized that you were starting to heal?
Yeah, I think it was after my mom had passed. I think after my mom had passed, I really got more into like CrossFit and lifting. I was kind of just using CrossFit as like a extra training regimen to go along with swimming. But then I started prioritizing lifting and Olympic lifting, and I got really into cleans. I have no idea why.
Cleans.
I loved cleans, and I loved practicing squat jerk, which was so insane. I have no idea why. So, and then after getting into that, because we started doing it during our programming for lifting at school, and I loved cleans. I still do, but that, and then I got so into them that I got my USA weightlifting level one coaching certification. And that, I think there I was like, okay, that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, is like I want to go into strength coaching. I didn't know what I wanted to do throughout college. I had gone in knowing and thinking that I wanted to do strength coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched to pre-med, I switched to pre-law, and neither of them like resonated with me. But by then I got, and then my junior or senior year, I got my USA weightlifting level one cert. And that was like, it was so eye-opening going to that weekend of just learning. And there was so much that I thought I knew. Everyone thinks that they know everything. And then I was one of those people. And then I went and I was like, wow, like there's so much out there and there's so much more to learn. And that, like, that weekend kind of like really pointed me in the direction of like, okay, hey, we're back to where we were at the beginning. I'm going to work to be a strength coach. That's what I want to do. I want to go into coaching. So I think that weekend was kind of the moment where I was like, that, yeah, it's for me.
No, that's awesome. I do remember when you were pre-med, and I remember when you were actually talking to some of the attorneys at the gym at Red Wolf about law, and then it seemed like you had turned off from that pretty quickly.
Oh, so quickly. I was like, I don't want to spend my entire life in a cubicle. I never wanted to do that. And that's what they kind of said was your life, was you're just sitting there, desk work, paperwork, which I'm fine with, but for the rest of my life, and I'm 23 years old, there's no way I was going to do that.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm really similar to you, because I remember specifically I went to my dad's office and I just sat there and it was quiet. There was maybe some white noise. You just hear the clickety clack on the keyboards and
the fluorescent lights overhead. Everything's white.
I remember sitting there and it was probably not even 20, 30 minutes in and I was going insane. I was like, I cannot believe people do this. And that I'm really glad that happened, because ever since that moment, I distinctly remember being like, I am not doing this. I have to be active. I have to be moving around. I have to be, in the gym, because the gym is where I found my peace as well. And then I just found that, you know, I really enjoyed helping people. I really enjoyed seeing people progress. I really enjoyed just the environment in general. And especially because the gym can already be intimidating. Like, I was intimidated by the gym when I was growing up. And so I could relate to people and try and make an environment to where it was welcoming and didn't matter who you are or where you're starting from, that we're going to help you regardless. And that's something that we've always valued at Red Wolf, is just leading with positivity to begin with.
100%.
I had another question for you. So was there ever a specific moment at Red Wolf where you felt like you truly belonged in this place?
In my first noon class, I was going to like 4:30s for a while.
Okay.
Because it was just after school. Because I started when I was like in high school. And I think when I went to my first noon class over that summer in between high school and college is when like I felt, I was like, oh, this is my gym. And I think it was that period where it was like right after I had done like 2 or 3 weeks of drop-ins. And then I went to a noon class because school had finished. And I said, I'm staying here. That's why I was doing those drop-ins for so long.
Yeah, I just didn't know. You did make me a lot of money. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, now I pay you, so you're getting it all back.
I think my first noon class, because everyone, like, I still go to noon class. I'm still a very dedicated nooner.
Yeah, you are.
I think it was just the people, and the energy was so much better than the other classes for me. I don't know. It was just more like we're always competitive in the gym. And I think seeing that competition within the noon class was like where I was like, okay, this is my class. I love it. Like, loved the energy, loved the enthusiasm to be there. And it was always like the guys, like Phil was there. I don't remember who else was there, but like, I distinctly remember Phil because he's also a dedicated nooner.
Yeah, he's the captain.
He's the captain of the noon squad. But all like the guys were there and like the women, it's just like everyone's so strong. And I like saw that at noon class. Not that I didn't see it anywhere else, but like I was like, okay, this just fits my vibe. Like this is what I was looking for. So yeah, I think when I went to my first noon class was when I was like, this is, yeah.
Everything just kind of clicked in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. No, fantastic. I mean, you've been with us for a while at Red Wolf. Tell us about some of, you know, your evolution from when you were started with us doing all those drop-ins to where you are now. Like, would share some of the lessons you've learned. Share with us just your wisdom from this.
My wisdom.
Your wisdom, yes.
Wow. Okay. Now I'm trying to think. But my wisdom. It's a hard question now. I don't know. I think good karma has always been centered at Red Wolf. Because I remember coming in during COVID when we had to move gyms. We had to move all that equipment over and then get the new space set up within a weekend so we could get members into the new gym like right away. And I remember that I had helped out with that weekend. I helped out with a bunch of other projects. And then I went back to school and you had emailed me like, hey, when you come back, you get like a month of credit. And then that month of credit has turned into like 3 years of credit. And now I work for you guys and I'm now starting to coach, which is really awesome. And I'm really grateful that I have met you guys you guys want to develop me as a coach. But good karma, the things that you do, the small things that you do in that gym, whether it's like working out or helping somebody else, will never go unnoticed. For sure. There's always, like even today, Jean, she was bench pressing and I was like, and she went a little too low. And I said, you have that weight. You just went too low. And she was like, no, really? Like she was surprised. I was like, yeah, you have that weight. You just messed up the technique a little bit. Just those little things. And like, I was helping Dennis today with like his bike setup, which he was kind of, I was teaching him a lot of stuff because I'm a cyclist myself. I was teaching him about bike setup, but those little things I think make people's days, and they learn so much more from that. So, that's another thing is just the small things and good karma is like huge in Red Wolf.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, the details matter. You know, I used to think that they didn't, but they definitely do. I used to always think kind of macro, and then the macro does matter too. I just realized that everything matters. The details matter. The big things matter. Some things you gotta let slides. Other things don't. But eventually, down the line, you gotta tighten it up.
Some of them, regardless, the marginal gains are still gains.
Yeah, yeah. Compounding compounds. And so, no, that's great that you brought that up. What would you say overall? Everything you've been through. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned over your entire experience with all this, of everything you've been through?
Take everything 1 minute at a time. I was like, whenever someone would ask me and try and schedule something with me like weeks ahead of time, I'd be like, I don't even know what my schedule looks tomorrow, because I was just so focused on just getting through the next day. I wasn't focused on anything else. I was just making it through the next day. So go minute by minute, second by second, even if you need to. Like I said, like one thing at a time, just do one thing at a time. Don't try to take too much upon yourself, because you will get burnt out and you will get stressed out, and then you'll turn into a person that you don't want to see in the mirror.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How so? Can you go kind of more into detail like that?
That was so ominous of me. I don't know how that came out. I guess if you let all these these bad things affect you, then you will turn into those bad things. I guess the best way to say it is like, both my parents passed away from cancer. And if I let that get to me so much, I'd become cancer to society. I would not be the happy, bubbly self I am today. And you just can't let those things win. And I know it's easier said than done. But there are people and there are activities and things that you can go do that will help you get through these things. And whether that be like going to Red Wolf or going for a walk, I'm still in therapy. I still see my therapist and I love her. She's the best. Finding places where you feel like you can do anything. That's 100%. I don't know what the, I can't tie back to the question, but that was literally it.
No, I hear you. And I think what you're trying to say, and you can correct me again if I'm wrong, but what you're just trying to say is like, take everything one step at a time and don't get too focused on the outcome, but just focus on the daily actions that will get you to the next step and focus on just the step in front of you.
Yeah.
And I read a great quote the other day that that really helped me too. And it was, when fishermen can't go to sea, they repair nets.
I think I saw you post that quote.
Did I? Posted it.
Oh, never mind. Then maybe I saw the same quote.
I can't remember who said it. But yeah, I mean, I saw it on Instagram essentially. But right. I thought that was great. And I saved it in my phone because it was a great reminder, especially for me, that I think kind of tying it back to the whole macro thinking and avoiding the details was that it's really easy to get caught up in the big thing or the big goal, especially when it comes to fitness, right? It's like, it's like 20 pounds. We got to lose 20 pounds. It's so far away. But then when you can't always make, like, progress isn't always linear, right? You're never going to continually chip away in a linear fashion in any kind of growth,
no,
regardless if it's fitness, career, whatever, personal growth. And that, you know, it's sometimes you just got to kind of figure out what to do in the meantime when you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime, you repair your net and you prepare for the next thing that's coming. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. If you are not in war, you still prepare for war.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, that's just me. You build up your army in your head and yourself so that when the next big thing comes, you're ready for it. And that's what CrossFit is. My L1, I learned so much. Like, I came back and I was saying midline stability. But one of the big things that I knew this too, but it was like a review was saying that like CrossFit prepares you for all aspects of life, but they were mostly talking about the physical because they were talking about how a med ball clean is like picking up a case of water at Costco and putting it in the basket. That was a med ball clean, or just a push press, like pushing something up overhead. But they didn't really talk about the mental part. And I think that CrossFit prepares you mentally for anything, because when you're going through that 5K bike for time, you, at least I today, like I reached a low moment where I was like, oh, I can't do it. There's so many other things that I have to go do after this. Like, I'm going to be tired. And then I was like, no, I can do it. So there's always that like low part, or when you're stuck in at the bottom of like a bench press or your squat and you feel like you can't do it, but then you have to fight. And I think that's been one of my favorite cues for lifters, is like you have to fight for it. So I think that CrossFit itself like prepares you both physically and mentally for these things because you are constantly fighting to push for something better.
Yeah, no, I love that. And that's a great way to put it. And that's a huge reason why I started CrossFit too, is for the mental benefits that it has. And I didn't realize how much it helps. And, you know, I've gone through times in my life where I cope through working out. And you're right, you know, sometimes you got to chip away at things, just like that 5K bike. And it's funny you bring that up, because when I started feeling the burning, I did the 2K row instead, and I kind of feeling that burning sensation only 500 meters in. I'm like, man, I still got 1500 meters to go. And so I just focused on 10 meters at a time. I'm like, every time I pull the paddle, I'm going to get 10 meters. I'm not even going to look at the the how much further I have to go. I'm just going to look at the 10 meters in front of me. 10 meters. Okay, there's 10 meters down. 10 meters again. I'm just going to get 10 meters per stroke. That's all I focused on until the end. Yeah. And it really helps you narrow your focus. And
the small things.
Exactly. Focus, yeah.
Small things, seconds at a time.
Exactly. When you can narrow the focus down, it really helps you to have better clarity on what's actually going on and how to approach things. And that's just, it's just one puzzle piece after the other.
Yeah. You can't approach like, I don't even know if there's a good metaphor for it, but to get to that big goal there, you have to make those little steps. You always have to make those little steps.
100%.
No matter how small they are, it's still a step.
Love it.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts from you before we wrap things up here, Eva?
No, I'm just excited to be coaching soon, and I'm excited to see everybody in the gym on Friday or whenever. Today's the day before Thanksgiving, so excited to see people, excited to come into the gym again. That's pretty much it. And make your bed. Make your bed first thing in the morning.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Eva.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.